Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome to this Monday edition of the program. I'm Neil Stavem, Ted Ross at the controls, Carissa's at the phones, and we've got a great hour ahead. The first half hour, we're going to spend a little time talking about Genesis 6, 7, and 8 and why it matters today. I don't know if you know your Bible survey well.
So. The story of Noah, I believe.
That's right, right? Sure. Yeah, and the fact is that Noah and the Ark still matter. We're going to talk at least some of the 40 reasons Noah and the Ark still matter. That's a subtitle of a book from Ken Ham and Bodie Hodge called A Flood of Evidence. And, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and so, you know, hearing about the flood was pretty common, and Noah and the Ark. But, and of course, lots of kids and, you know, reading the grandkids, you know, that's a lot of conversation about that. But
right. The story of God's faithfulness and his promise.
Yeah.
Right?
But lots of skepticism, too, among the scientific community, at least. So we're going to dive into it today, if you will. Maybe right on top of it there. But hey, really looking forward to having Ken Ham on the broadcast. He's got 30 minutes to share with us. I heard Ken on a couple months ago on Family Life Today. And it's a great conversation. I thought I wanted to get him on Connecting Faith. And so we're honored that he would join us. He's president and CEO and founder of Answers in Genesis U.S. and the highly acclaimed Creation Museum and the world-renowned Ark Encounter. And Ken's emphasis is on the relevance and authority of the book of Genesis and how compromise in Genesis has opened a dangerous door regarding how the culture and church view biblical authority. Of course, you'll recognize his Australian accent here as we welcome him to the broadcast. But Ken has written a number of books, including the one we're going to reference today, A Flood of Evidence. We've got some copies to give away as well, so you can sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH. Ken, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Neil.
You know, this, I think if we've grown up in the church, we have some understanding of Noah and the Ark and the flood account. But there are, there's been a lot of attack, I guess you could say, or skepticism about the whole concept of a flood. And one of the things you address early on in talking some of these reasons that Noah and the Ark still matter is that there's an assumption that, well, the worldwide flood was the belief for a while, but now that we've maybe been enlightened, we know that it was really just millions of years of rock sediment being laid down without catastrophe. How did that big change come about?
Well, you know, people really didn't question, those who believe the Bible didn't question that there was a worldwide flood, a global flood, until about the 1700s, 1800s, you know, late 18th century, 19th century. When what happened was there were those who were deists and those who were atheists, basically out of deistic and atheistic naturalism, from people who wanted to try to explain everything without God. And so they wanted to explain the fossil record without God, because by and large it was accepted that there was a global flood. And so they started to promote the idea that the fossil record wasn't a result of the flood, but was laid down slowly over millions of years. And that's really where the idea of millions of years first came from deistic and naturalistic, atheistic, I should say, naturalism of the 1700s, 1800s. And as they promoted the idea of millions of years in geology, actually that was a key to Darwin then taking that millions of years in geology, or supposed millions of years, and then saying, well, given millions of years in biology, we see little changes. You know, you see animals change, and we see different species and so on, as we see today. So given enough time, all that time, then one kind changes into another, ape-like creatures into people. And so, you know, the idea of biological and anthropological evolution started to be promoted. But what happened, too, back in the 1700s, 1800s, as these atheists in particular started to promote the idea of millions of years, there were Christian leaders who started to say, well, we could take the millions of years and add them into the Bible. So We could, you know, fit it in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 and say there's a gap there. And the idea of what's called the gap theory arose in many of our churches. And then there were those that said, well, instead of the gap theory, we could fit them in the days of creation and say they were long periods of time. And so all sorts of different views, I would call them compromised views, started to arise in the church, all because of the idea of millions of years in regard to the fossil record. And so, you know, it's interesting to know, and this is important to understand, is that, you know, the global flood was an integral event in history, a very important event. It was an important event because it was a judgment on mankind because of man's rebellion. It was a message of salvation, a message that people had to go through one door to be saved, that God built an ark of salvation with one door in it. We would say that most of your fossil record over the earth is actually the graveyard of the flood, whereas today the fossil record is used by secularists to promote to generations of our kids that, no, it's the evidence of millions of years, and many in the church have adopted this idea of millions of years. And we believe, and I personally believe, that that was a key as to how biblical authority started to be undermined in our modern era, so that now we have generations of kids who are leaving the church, are no longer interested in the church. They believe you can't trust the Bible. And once you undermine the authority of Genesis in God's word, then eventually you find other areas such as marriage and so on begin to be undermined as well. And so, you know, it's really important to understand, is the fossil record really the result of a global flood, or is it really the record of millions of years? And there are many other implications too. If it's a result of millions of years, then in the fossil record you've got death, you've got evidence of diseases like cancer and brain tumors, you've got evidence of fossil thorns said to be millions of years old. But the Bible makes it very clear, when God made everything after he finished making man, that at the end of the sixth day, that everything was very good. And so how can you have a world full of diseases like cancer and thorns, when the Bible says thorns came after the curse? So the idea of millions of years does not mesh with what the Bible clearly teaches. And for those Christians that have accepted millions of years, they're really undermining the authority of the Word of God right there at the beginning of the Bible.
Mm. Let me ask you just maybe a few specifics about, you know, the fossil record, for example. Does it take millions of years to form fossils?
No, actually, the formation of a fossil is a catastrophic event. You know, when I'm teaching kids, I teach people of all ages and have all sorts of programs, but when I'm teaching kids about fossils, I say, imagine if you go home and you find out your pet cat just died. And the reason why I use cats is because I don't like cats. But anyway, that's enough idea. But if you took your cat out in the front yard and just left it there and put a sign on it and said, dead cat fossilizing, do not touch, you know, scientific experiment going on. If you came back and took notes, it'd be, you know, like day one, dead cat on grass, day seven, smelly dead cat on grass, you know, day 14, very smelly dead cat. And after a while, you'd be taking notes like, you know, day 25, part of cat missing. And eventually, you know, maybe after a couple of months, where's my cat? It's gone. Because what happens is normally when animals die, they rot, they decay. Other animals take bits and pieces from them. Think about all the millions of buffalo that were killed on the prairies, but you don't have millions of fossils of them, because fossilization is a catastrophic event. You've got to cover something very quickly to fossilize it. You've got to preserve it in some way. And so how do you make billions of fossils? When you look over the earth, there are layers of rock, thousands of feet, in fact, sometimes miles thick, full of fossils all over the earth, billions of dead things buried in rock layers all over the earth. How could you account for that? It had to be enormous catastrophic processes. And we would say, hey, if there really was a global flood, as the Bible teaches, you'd expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And that's exactly what you find. There's no way you can explain the fossil record. And the beautiful preservation, there's examples of fish in the middle of eating another fish, or an ichthyosaur in the midst of giving birth, that are all captured in the fossil record. Millions of jellyfish in Australia in the Ediacara Formation. When jellyfish land on the beach, it doesn't take long, and they'll start to disappear very, very quickly. How do you fossilize a jellyfish? How do you fossilize millions of jellyfish? And so what you see in the fossil record is evidence of catastrophism, not slow processes over millions of years.
Well, I guess that comes up with the issue of rock layers as well. I mean, that if you travel to southern Utah or, the Grand Canyon, you just say this has to speak of water and catastrophe, doesn't it?
Well, of course, if you go to the Grand Canyon and you stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon with one of the park rangers, they'll say a long time and a little bit of water did all this. And we would stand there and say a lot of water and a little bit of time did all this. You know, we have the same rock layers and we have the same canyon. And they believe the secularists would say it took, millions of years. Whereas we would say, no, the layers were laid down catastrophically during the flood, and the canyon was actually carved catastrophically probably towards the end of the flood. And, when you look in the rock layers at the Grand Canyon, there are layers that are laid directly one on top of the other, different layers, and yet according to evolutionists, between some of those layers there's millions of years missing, but there can't be millions of years missing because they're laid directly on top of each other. There's no evidence of massive erosion over millions of years or anything like that. It's sort of like, look, if you go home and you get a glass of some tall glass, empty glass, and you go out and fill it up with dirt, and then or put dirt in it and fill it up with water, and then shake it up and then let it settle, it'll settle out into layers according to the size of grains, according to the weight of the particular substance and so on. You actually see it separate into layers. You see that with local floods. When there's a local flood and it's eroded an area and then deposited mud, you'll see it deposited in layers. Well, that's what you see all over the earth, and it was certainly a major catastrophism. They sorted out all these layers, and as the water was on the earth, depending on the density of the material it was carrying, depending on how fast the water was traveling, different layers actually deposited out at different times, layer upon layer upon layer. And that's what you see, and it's evidence that there was massive catastrophism. And even at the Grand Canyon, in some of those layers, there are all sorts of fossils that some of those fossils are actually pointed in particular directions and showing that they were sort of deposited at one time and again, beautifully preserved. So there's all sorts of evidence of such catastrophic processes all over the earth, and we'd say most of it all fits with a global flood.
Talking about a flood of evidence, 40 Reasons Noah and the Ark Still Matter. It's one of the more recent books from Ken Ham and Bodie Hodge. We've got some copies, 3 copies to give away. Would love to have you sign up for that. It's a great resource, easy to read and understand, something that would be helpful for you, maybe in your student who is trying to just help face what's going on today, maybe in the school system. Ken grew up in Australia, was a science teacher in Queensland public high schools before committing himself to full-time message of creation in the gospel. And he's now CEO and founder of Answers in Genesis, U.S., and also the Creation Museum and the world-renowned Ark Encounter. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up in just a moment. We got another 10 minutes or so with Ken. If you have a question or want to sign up for a copy of the book, call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Was the flood worldwide or global or a local? We'll talk about that with Ken in just a moment. Flood. We're talking today with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum and the world-renowned Ark Encounter about one of his new books called A Flood of Evidence. And he co-wrote with Bodie Hodge, who's on the team there at Answers in Genesis. Ken has written a number of books and, of course, speaks around the globe talking about creation and understanding science. Things like A is for Adam, D is for dinosaur, and we're talking flood today, and why 40 Reasons Noah and the Ark Still Matter. One of the questions I guess people probably ask you is, was the flood just a local flood or global?
You know, it's interesting. In response to the idea of millions of years in the 1700s and 1800s, then there were people that realized, wait a minute, if you've got a global flood, if all these layers were laid down with all these fossils over supposed millions of years, if you've got a global flood, it would have ripped all that up and redeposited it. So they said, well, to consistently believe in millions of years, you're going to have to make the flood a local event. And so the idea of a local flood sort of arose in the church, that it was just a local event, you know, back up at the Suma Creek or something. And by the way, even a local flood causes catastrophic processes to occur and causes a lot of damage. But when we read the Bible, you know, it's very important to note at the end of the account of the flood, God gives meaning to the rainbow. It's interesting, at the Ark Encounter, our life-size Noah's Ark attraction, we have a special program, a laser program, showing for Christmas laser projection on the Ark, and we show the rainbow and give the meaning of the rainbow in Genesis 9, when God said, when you see the rainbow, it'll be a reminder to you that God has a covenant between God and man and God and the animals that he will never again repeat such an event. In other words, there's never going to be another flood like Noah's flood. Next time the judgment will be by fire, but not by water. But we've seen lots of floods in the last 4,300 years since Noah's flood. We see lots of local floods. We saw them in America not that long ago in the South. We saw lots of massive local flooding in Texas, for instance. But the Bible's not talking about a local flood. It's talking about something that'll never be repeated again. And it's obvious it's a global flood. In fact, the language in the Bible is very, very clear that the water covered the highest hills under the whole of heaven. And think about it. You know, how could all animals, land animals, birds, how could they all die if it was just a local flood? They would have just migrated to another area. Birds would have just flown to another area. But all flesh died that lived on the land. That's what the Bible says. So the language is very clear when you read Genesis chapter 6 through Genesis chapter 9. It was a global flood, an event never to be repeated again. And the Bible makes that very, very clear. So if it was a global flood, then you'd expect to see evidence of that all over the earth, and you do. The fossil record is not the result of millions of years. It's actually the graveyard of the flood, reminding us that God has judged man's wickedness, and he's going to judge again next time by fire, and we need to make sure that we're ready before the Lord.
Ken, I know that you mentioned the Ark Encounter. I want you to talk a bit more about that, but maybe are there most frequently asked questions when people... You know, when you go out and speak or when they come to the Creation Museum, what's what they want to know most? Is it about, you know, could Noah built the ark, or what are the things that they have questions about?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of questions that they have. And in fact, you know, I'd say the 40 top questions are those that are in the particular book that you're giving away, A Flood of Evidence. And, you know, we go through those there. But I'd say the top question, and I received this when I first started teaching back in 1975 in Australia, when kids in the secular school said, Mr. Ham, how can you believe the Bible when it says there was Noah's Ark and Noah's flood, and we know the animals couldn't fit on the Ark? Well, how many animals were needed on the Ark? Well, they couldn't have fitted. How big was the Ark? Well, they didn't know that either. And the most asked questions we get asked in the church and the secular world is, how could Noah fit all those animals on the Ark? Well, the Bible says it was to take two of every kind or every sort. The Hebrew word is the word mean. And we would say it really fits more with our family level of classification, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. So we would say the kind that God's talking about here is more at the family level of classification, not the genus, not the species. And so people get confused here because they say, how could he fit all the different species of animals on the ark? Well, take dogs. There's different species of dogs, and you've got dingoes and wolves and coyotes and jackals and foxes and bennets and your domestic varieties and so on. He didn't need representatives of all those on the ark. He just needed two of the dog family Canidae. That's all you needed, two of those on the ark. And you need two of the cat family. And because of all the incredible amount of genetic variability God already put in the genes of each kind, then there can be tremendous variation there. And so after the flood, as two dogs come off and as they increase in numbers and move away from each other, you get different combinations of genes that survive better in different areas, and you get your different species of dogs. And we've now been able to find out the speciation can actually happen quite quickly. It doesn't take millions of years or hundreds of thousands of years. It can happen very quickly within just a few generations. And so then we realized Noah didn't need anywhere near the number of animals on the ark. In fact, we would say at the most, very conservatively speaking, overestimating 1,400 kinds only and two of each kind, and most animals are pretty small, there was tons of room on the ark. And so we answer those questions at the ark encounter, which is our life-size Noah's ark, where people walk through all three floors and see all these exhibits. And we have exhibit bays set up so people can understand what a kind is and how many animals he needed on the ark, and he didn't need anywhere near the number that we think. And we also talk about how Noah could have built the ark. See, we've got the idea that Noah was a sort of a primitive and, you know, didn't understand technology. Hey, think about it. Before the flood, people lived for hundreds of years. They could have had a very advanced technology. In fact, within seven generations of Adam, the Bible says they were workers of bronze and iron. Who knows what technology they had? And so we've got to stop having an evolutionary view of history and have a creationist view. The people before us were probably more intelligent than we are. Noah was probably way above us in intelligence and understanding of ways and means to do things beyond what we could even maybe do today. So there's a whole different way of looking at all of this, and that's why it's important to answer these questions. And at both the Creation Museum and the Ark, we actually have exhibits that answer the most asked questions people have to help them understand the Bible's history is true. That's why the gospel based in that history is true.
You can find out more the arkencounter.com. Arkencounter.com would give you information about Noah's Ark, and you can go on from there to connect with the Creation Museum. And, of course, Answers in Genesis is the organization founded by Ken, answersingenesis.org. And Ken, you continue to produce materials, and the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, it's be a place to put on your list to visit sometimes in just near Cincinnati, right?
Yes, actually in northern Kentucky, in the greater Cincinnati area, just across the river from Cincinnati and right near Cincinnati Airport, which is in northern Kentucky. That's where the Creation Museum is. And then south on 75 between Cincinnati and Lexington, halfway between there, that's where the Ark is. And they're within 45 minutes of each other. And we're within two-thirds, a one-day drive of two-thirds of the population.
Well, I know that many have come to see it already, and hope many others do as well. Ken, it was great to talk with you. I know if people want to hear more, they'd go back and listen to your conversation from Family Life Today. And, of course, we'll post our interview online as well. Ken Ham, president, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis and the highly acclaimed Creation Museum and world-renowned Ark Encounter. Ken, so appreciate you coming on today, and thanks for your good work in this area and for sharing with us today.
Hey, thanks, Neil. My pleasure.
Ken Ham talking with us today. We've got a couple of copies of the book, A Flood of Evidence, 40 Reasons Noah and the Ark Still Matter. We'll give those away. You can sign up for it at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH, A Flood of Evidence from Ken Ham. We've got some copies to give away. And stay tuned. There's more coming up here in the second half of Connecting Faith. Hey, we are in Christmas season, and we're thankful for the best gift of all, God sending His Son. We want to spend a little time today just talking about gift opportunities at Faith Radio here in the next half hour. Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio Network, joining me. We are actually interested in hearing from some of our Connecting Faith listeners just how Faith Radio has made a difference in their lives. So it's an opportunity to just kind of open the phones, take some calls. So.
Yeah, we're really appreciative of your friendship and support, grateful for your listening, but also love to hear what God is doing in your life through something you've heard or maybe a program that you listen to regularly that has changed your life. Last night we were with some friends, and we actually heard a Christmas program. And it was interesting in the course of the drive from where we live to where we were going, My friends were sharing stories about how Faith Radio, something they had heard, whether it was a program or one of our interactive talk shows, but they were actually gleaning information and sharing stories of what God has spoken to them as a result of something they heard. And so it was very powerful. It was a lot of fun. They didn't do it just to impress me, or it was just natural conversation. And so we'd like to hear from you today at 877-933-2484.
Tell us, how Faith Radio has made a difference in your life. It's open phones here for the next half hour. Also, I want to encourage you as we hear a little clip from Max Licato. During the month of December, we're giving away some copies of Max Licato's great book for Christmas. And he put together a little Christmas special last year, and thought we'd just share a couple minutes of that as you call with your testimony, your word of thanks for Faith Radio. But listen to this from Max Licato, Because of Bethlehem.
We may not see the connection between the name Jesus and the phrase, save his people from their sins, but Joseph would have. He was familiar with the Hebrew language. The English name Jesus traces its origin to the Hebrew word Yeshua, a shortening of Yehoshua, which means Yahweh saved. Who was Jesus? God saves. God saves. Jesus was not just godly, godlike, God hungry, God focused, or God worshiping. He was God, not merely a servant of God, instrument of God, or friend of God, but Jesus was God. God saves, not God empathizes, cares, listens, helps, assists, or applauds. God saves. Specifically, he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save us, not just from politics, enemies, challenges, or difficulties. He came to save us from our own sins. Here's why. God has high plans for you and me. He is recruiting for himself a people who will populate heaven. God will restore his planet and his children to their Garden of Eden splendor. It will be perfect, perfect in splendor, perfect in righteousness, perfect in harmony. One word described heaven, perfect. And one word describes us, imperfect. God's kingdom is perfect, but his children are not. So what is he to do? Abandon us? Start over? Well, he could. But he loves us too much to do that. Will he tolerate us with our sin nature? Maybe populate heaven with rebellious, self-centered citizens? Well, if so, how would heaven be heaven? He had a greater plan. All the love of God was in Jesus, and all the strength of God was in Jesus, and all the compassion and power and devotion of God were for a time in the earthly body of a carpenter. And no wonder the winds obeyed when Jesus spoke. He was God speaking. And no wonder the bacteria fled when Jesus touched the wounds. He was God speaking. No wonder the water held him as he walked. He was God speaking. And no wonder people stood speechless as he taught. He was God speaking. And no wonder 10,000 angels stood in rapt attention as Jesus was nailed to a cross. He was God speaking.
Well, that's just a portion of a radio special from Max Licato, Because of Bethlehem, which is taken from his book that came out last year, Because of Bethlehem, as we look to maybe rekindle the connection to Christ here and find hope through Max Licato's great book. Love to hear from you how you found hope and encouragement through Faith Radio, how God has used that. By the way, I do have a couple of Max Licato's brand new book, Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. We'll give those away here in the remaining 20 minutes, too. So maybe in the next two callers, if you join us on air with a little word of testimony, we'll make sure you get a copy of Anxious for Nothing from Max Licato. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484. We're just going to open up the phone lines here for the rest of this hour. Just hear from you. You know, how has Faith Radio made a difference in your life? We don't always have that opportunity to just interact and talk with you. So today is the day. Get a comment. We'd love to hear it. 877-933-2484.
Do you know the power of a testimony is still extremely strong? I mean, it's an endorsement. It is a word of encouragement. And for others that may be listening, you may articulate exactly how they feel about Faith Radio. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., we begin our winter share. It's our Close the Gap campaign. It's when we take 2 days to kind of close the gap between what was needed in our fall share-a-thon and where we really are today. And so one of the things that you could even do with your call is encourage others to get on board from a giving perspective, because honestly, you're some of our best advertising in terms of how God has blessed you as a result of your participation, how he has used your giving in a sense to change lives. And so we are a strong testament to that. Faith Radio is going and growing because of friends like you.
Well, and it really is growing too, and we'd love to hear from you. It's just an opportunity for you to join in and say, you know, how God has encouraged you through the ministry of Faith Radio, and maybe it's something that you've heard here in one of our interactive talk programs, whether it's Connecting Faith or Live the Promise or maybe on the morning show, Bill Arnold, the early morning late show. I'd love to hear your comments today. The phone lines are open at 877-933-2484. Let's check in with Blake calling in from Cedar Falls. Hey, Blake, thanks so much for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So tell us a little bit about what you appreciate. How has Faith Radio made a difference in your life?
Well, I'm 20 years old right now. I'm living on an acreage outside of Cedar Falls, and I just love listening to Faith Radio every day when I'm in the tractor or working. And I learn so much when I listen to it, and it's been an incredible blessing.
Blake, we are so glad to have you tuning in. Can you tell us how you found Faith Radio?
My dad started listening to it when I was a couple of years ago, and then I heard Robbie Zacharias, and then I started listening, and I started really studying about just the way he spoke and kind of the arguments he had, and then I started listening to it every day, and then started listening to, yeah, I just listen to it every day now, and that's basically how I heard about it, and it just really, it's got me closer to Jesus, and I'm trying to read the Bible a lot more and just really get that relationship more. And I'm telling all my friends about it, too. Like, I have a plan when I'm driving. It's awesome.
Well, you know, we always say here at Faith Radio, there's not really an age limit, in terms of the broadcast. If you want to, you know, learn and grow in your faith, I mean, you know, whether you're, 20 or 82, I mean, there's something there for everybody, I think.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, it's connecting with my whole lifestyle now. I mean, here at the acreage, I'm just mimicking the exact way that, God, does agriculture and forests, and just mimicking, just covering the ground and, just asking God, what do I do now? And he'll show you, and it's awesome. Like, he'll just guide you exactly where he wants you to go, and just, it's awesome. Putting your life in his hands and stuff, it's awesome.
Blake, we are really proud of you. Can I pray for you real quick?
Totally, totally.
Lord Jesus, thank you for Blake and the many he represents in his generation. And I just pray that you would continue to work in his life. Thank you for his faithfulness to you and for his willingness to follow you and to hear your voice. Pray you bless him, not only this Christmas season, but in this coming year, with a greater capacity to know you and to follow you and understand your word. Thank you for our dear friend. I pray your blessing on him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we'd love to hear from Blake. Thank you so much for your call. Thanks for listening, and Merry Christmas to you. We'll make sure, put you in the drawing there for Max Licato's book, You're Anxious for Nothing. Maybe make sure you get one of those copies. You've got a couple of copies of that to give away the next 15, 20 minutes or so. You can call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Just looking for your word of encouragement. What is it that you appreciate about Faith Radio? How has it made a difference in your life? And Dick, I appreciate you, just as you're praying about, you know, that for Blake, that his capacity to know more of God would grow. And I think that's really one of those amazing things about, isn't the more we know of God and study his word and just interact with him, the more we have capacity to know him.
Well, I think that's true, Neil. I mean, I think we are finite. He is infinite. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes I think the challenge for those of us who have walked with God for a long time is to reach a place of settledness, mm-hmm. Which is really perhaps laziness on our part, mm-hmm. on occasion, or just an unwillingness to grow. And yet there's so much more to experience and to know. And so let Blake be an encouragement, mm-hmm. today to you as well as he was to me.
877-933-2484. It's open phones here for the rest of the hour on Connecting Faith, just taking your calls. And what you'd like to share about how Faith Radio has encouraged you along the way. Love to hear from you if you're in the Bismarck-Mandan area. That's just a brand new signal, Outreach to Faith Radio. Just came on in, late September.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been on very long. And so maybe you've just discovered Faith Radio at 89.1 in the Bismarck area. We'd love to hear from you. And just to give you a welcome to the Faith Radio family, you can call us toll-free again, 877-933-2484.
By the way, we're also we have billboards not only in Bismarck, but also in Hartford. And if you're new to the Hartford family of listeners, 94.1 or AM 1290, we're honored to have you tuning in as well. If you haven't requested your new listener packet, please do so. There's no commitment or obligation on your part. We send you a packet of information, tells you a little bit more about the station. It's free. And again, no commitment or obligation on your part. We'd love you to have the information so you can tell others about us.
Thank you for sharing the good news. We're just hearing from you today. It's open phones. Got a couple friends waiting. We'll get to that. We'll take a little break first, though, and come back. And we'd love to hear from you. Got a copy of Max Lucado's book, Anxious for Nothing. It's his brand new book, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. And maybe you've found more than that. You found encouragement, a reminder of God's peace and presence through Faith Radio. And we'd love to hear your story, 877-933-2484. More coming up. Time today to hear from you. Open phones on Faith Radio today on Connecting Faith, 877-933-2484. Just want to hear from you, give you an opportunity to talk about how Faith Radio has made a difference and encouraged you maybe just in the last few months, or maybe you've been listening for a long time. Love to hear from that as well. If you're 20 years old like Blake, or you can, you know, be any age beyond that, we'd love to have you join the conversation. 877-93-FAITH. Got a copy of Anxious for Nothing, Max Lucado's new book, we'll give away as well for someone who joins with us on the air.
So. All right. 877-933-2484. Thank you for your friendship, and thank you for sharing what God is doing in your life.
You know, we mentioned Bismarck, our new signal at 89.1 in the Bismarck-Mandan area in Hartford, 94.1, fairly new to our Faith Radio Network as well. But one of the great things, Dick, is that we've got people listening all around the nation on the app, online, and that is continuing to grow as well.
Yeah, it's very exciting, honestly, friends, to get an idea, a picture of where people are tuning in through the app to Faith Radio from. It's from Texas to California. In fact, I think we've heard from 30-some different states where people are regularly listening, streaming the audio either through the website at myfaithradio.com or through the app, the mobile app, which is available in the iTunes and Google App Store. It's free download, and it's a great way to listen. Occasionally when I'm out of town, out of the area, that's how I tune in. I just take my smartphone, which is much smarter than me, but I have figured out how to use the app, and it's amazing. You turn it on, and the stream is there, and I'm able to consume and enjoy Faith Radio wherever I'm at.
Well, that app is free, and you can download that, of course, anytime from your iTunes Store or Google Play. But it's a reminder that the ministry is growing here at Faith Radio, and your gifts have been making that possible. And that's what we're going to be talking about here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's what our winter share is all about. Again, we are a listener-supported ministry.
Yeah, let's go to line one. Mary Ann is calling in from West St. Paul. Hi, Mary Ann. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I'm so glad to talk to you. You're such an inspiration. And I've been listening to KTIS since it began and when Billy Graham was the president.
Wow, you go way back with us. So thanks for your faithfulness. Is there one or two things over the years that have particularly encouraged you, or maybe just something recently?
Well, I just love to listen to all your programs, David Jeremiah especially. But way back then, Wilbur Nelson used to be on your station, and
sure,
he's gone home to Jesus.
Yeah.
And just the other day, I went to Lifeway, and I got this Anxious for Nothing from Max Lucado. And I listened to one of them so far, and what an inspiration he is.
There's no question about it, Marianne. Just, and of course, we've got the lots of opportunities to be anxious, so to hear God's word, as Max Lucado spells it out, is pretty important. And I hope you find that encouragement every day here in Faith Radio as well.
Oh, I do. Very much I do. I just praise the Lord, and I keep lifting you up, and I'm supporting you also, and I just want to continue to do that.
Blessings to you, Marianne. We really appreciate that. Thanks for your longtime faithful listening and your support. It means a lot. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. God bless you.
Let's go to Fargo-Moorhead, AM 1200 listening area. We've got Bonnie in Grand Forks. Hi, Bonnie. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. I just want to say thank you for your program selections and for your kind words and prayers for us out here. I listen to you on the computer all day at work and then in my car, and I've shared you with several folks. But I find that if I don't stay listening I have meetings and so forth, so I get taken away from the computer, but I find in my personal life, and again, you're not a replacement for church, please hear me on that, but I find that I struggle in my inner attitude, and you guys are a wealth of knowledge from the Word and the programming that you do, so thank you.
Bonnie, really appreciate your comment and for listening. It is like the biblical principle. It just kind of layer upon layer. I agree with you. I think if there's those occasions when I'm not listening, I'm susceptible to a bad attitude or other things creeping in. It does amaze me how faithful God is to use His Word kind of 24/7 in my life through this ministry. And we're glad to have you listening.
Yeah, Bonnie's just thinking about what's that saying about it's, you know, faith is sort of like riding a bicycle. I mean, if you're not moving forward, you're going to fall off because there's no way. And so thank you for your encouragement, and so glad to have you listening. And I hope that you find God continues to speak to you in a very powerful way here.
Bonnie, do you have a favorite time to listen? Is there a favorite program that you enjoy?
I like the 8 o'clock when he's always got somebody different speaking from abroad or here. This morning he talked about the stuff going on in the Supreme Court.
The Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
And 11 o'clock. Who's at 11?
Chip Ingram. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas to you,
Bonnie. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for telling your friends about Faith Radio. That's huge for us. We really appreciate your kindness in that way. 877-933-2484. Tomorrow's a very special day for us, actually Tuesday and Wednesday, as we're talking about our spring or actually our winter share. It's, we call it affectionately the Gap Campaign, because we're closing the gap between what was needed back in the fall for our big campaign and where we're actually at. And so we can close the gap and get closer, especially as we come to the year end for many of you in giving and support.
Well, speaking of giving and support, Leith Anderson is a regular guest here on Connecting Faith. I always offer such good insight, and had a chance to talk with Leith a while back and talked about the very issue of giving and supporting Faith Radio. Faith Radio is about connecting faith to life every day, and we're at this time of year now. We're talking support. Just be interested in your perspective. Leading a National Association of Evangelicals, also as a longtime pastor, the value of a ministry like Christian radio.
There's some statistics on Christian radio that actually surprise me, and that is how many people who I wouldn't think of as an evangelical Christian or even a believer listen. So there's an opportunity here to both minister to those who are people of faith and those who are interested in inquiring. So that's the statistical part that surprises me. But what delights me is when I hear these unsolicited stories. I'll just meet somebody and they'll say, well, I was listening to Christian radio. I was listening to Faith Radio. And here's what they said. And I mean, that is just It's just so delightful. You can't prove it with the statistics, but it is again and again the impactful and transformative influence on people's lives. And, you know, on the financial side of it, it's the recognition that we listen frequently to various broadcasts that are commercially after us. They're after our money so that we'll make a company profitable. This is an opportunity to make the kingdom of Jesus Christ effective through financial support. How good is that? That's even better than some of the things that are advertised on television.
Well, you know, certainly as a pastor, that growing in a vibrant spiritual Christian walk doesn't just happen without intention. And so I think there's really a place for a ministry like Faith Radio to provide that daily encouragement. You know, hopefully people are spending time reading the Bible and they're in prayer, but there is some value in having that available in their regular listening routine.
And the regular listening routine is not always what you would expect. So you and I do interviews together, and someone told me recently, well, I was listening to you at 11:30 last night. I wasn't being interviewed at 11:30 last night. And they said, oh, that's what I do before I go to bed. I actually listen to Faith Radio online. It's an opportunity to influence people's lives where they are, when they are, which is an opportunity their previous generation didn't have. If somebody was out of the car getting gas, they missed what was said, but now they can get it at a time that fits their particular schedule. It's really good.
Just a final thought, Leith, about biblical principle that should guide us in terms of our generosity, our giving?
I think that the primary motivation for our giving is gratitude, that we have been blessed by God and we in turn are to bless others. And often it's not just the people that are in our immediate neighborhood, it's beyond that. So do I think we should be supporting our local church? Do I think we should care for our neighbor in the midst of need? I do. But we are so blessed in this country that we have an opportunity to bless others that we've never seen or met. And radio is maybe the best way that that can possibly happen. It can touch the lives of people that ordinarily we'd never be able to meet in our neighborhood or in our churches.
Leith Anderson giving us some insights, perspective on giving, and it's hard to argue that there is a great return on investment in terms of the dollars invested can reach so many people.
You know, it's always amazing to me when we hear from friends who've had an encounter with God through something they've heard on Faith Radio. Many of them are people that you and I might not expect to be listening to Christian radio. Yeah. The radio goes where you and I can't, often to offices and homes that may be in some form or fashion closed to the gospel, maybe even to prison cells. But God's word is never bound. It's never hindered. And when you support Faith Radio, you're part of a ministry that's really changing lives all across the upper Midwest, now in Bismarck and in Hartford and really around the world via the internet. Thank you for your partnership prayerfully and financially. And I hope you'll join us tomorrow and Wednesday for our Winter Gap campaign as we take care of, well, some of the remaining financial need of this ministry. Your gift really keeps us on the air, keeps us streaming online, and the truth is we couldn't do it without you.
So thanks for considering Faith Radio in your year-end giving, and we look forward to hearing from you in the next couple of days. Did hear from a listener who says, my dad played Faith Radio on the radio at his barbershop, and that's how I found out about the station. She said, I'd encourage anyone, if you have radio on at your work, put the Christian radio on, and you'll never know who could be blessed by it. So a good word.
That's a great word.
Good word. Thank you for your calls and your encouragement today, and hope that you'll join us tomorrow for a Winter Share here on Faith Radio.
Nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born this Christmas day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. God, our Heavenly Father, this blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Whoa, star.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.